on this first day of spring. Let's try and take a look at a little different kind of green. Brian Ford joins us this morning to talk finance and investing. Brian's a vice president and advisor at RBC Wealth Management and underwriter at WCVE. Brian, I cut my grass for the first time this weekend, so happy spring to you.
Yes, Dan. Good morning. How have you been?
I've been fine, except for cutting the grass. go ahead.
There's lots going on in the business world here and abroad now. The big story in the U.S. last week, of course, you know this, was the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. This was the third time in just over a year that the Fed did that. It's not a surprise, really, what happened, since they had been signaling that they would do that. The good news is Janet Yellen, the chair of the Federal Reserve, believes the U.S. economy is strong enough to take higher interest rates, and more importantly, it gives them more wiggle room in the future if they have to go back the other way. But the reality is that Congress and the overall monetary policy, including what to do about taxes, will be more center stage going forward. This is also important, Dan, is how it relates to foreign countries in the form of tariffs, which brings me to the other big event this past week, which was the G20 meeting in Germany. You may know that's the 20 largest economies in the world. And it turns out that Donald Trump and company are not the only ones worried about free trade around the globe. That and the fluctuations in currencies in different countries have been a big concern. The Eurozone and Japan still have rock-bottom interest rates, so there's a great deal of uncertainty about which direction economic growth will look like going forward. We think it'll be critical to see how elections play out in France and other countries this spring, and whether protectionism gains more momentum. But for now, I would say that the U.S. is taking advantage of this relative economic calm right now and making hay while the sun shines.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Chairwoman Yellen hinted that there would be more increases in the future.
Yeah, the expectation is for at least one, if not two more, later this year.
No surprises really to anyone. Economic advisors like to grade stocks and bonds and other investment instruments, but there was a report out recently that shows there's an investment in education out there that doesn't get a very good grade at all. What is that?
Yeah, this is a little distressing. Some people like to talk about bubbles in the stock market or the bond market. I think it may be time to focus on the trouble brewing in the student loan market. Despite the fact that the stock market sits at essentially all-time highs and unemployment's the lowest it's been in many years, it's not all rosy for everyone, Dan. A recent report from the Consumer Federation of America said the number of student loans in default jumped 17% last year alone. Now, default means no payment in 9 months. That's serious. The approximate balance on federal student loans is about $1.5 trillion. Yes, that's trillion with a T. And that does not include private loans, credit cards, or even home equity loans that many families use. This is particularly relevant now, Dan, as college acceptances are being considered right now, and more importantly, how to pay for it. Another thing to consider about the growing number of student loans in default is that most federal student loans cannot be charged off in bankruptcy. Other loans like car loans can simply be put aside. The repercussions for defaults on student loans is significant, including lower credit scores and garnishing wages. In case you may be wondering, the average amount per borrower right now is just over $30,000. Bottom line, we think the student loan market is not as strong as you might think, and that bears watching, especially for the families in distress.
Yeah, I can't imagine coming out of college with $30,000 in debt that couldn't even be discharged in bankruptcy. It's got to be tough.
Correct.
For some students. Do you play poker, Brian?
Well, I used to, but not so much anymore.
Well, if you've ever watched it on TV, you watched Texas Hold'em, and one of the betting strategies there sometimes used is to bluff your opponent by going all in or putting all your chips into the pot to see if your opponent is willing to match. I was wondering, can that strategy be used in investing in volatile times, either being all in or all out? If the market's going crazy, should you be out? And if it's going crazy good, should you be all in?
I like the thought process, because with the market at all-time highs and interest rates possibly beginning a long run of increases, it's suddenly become fashionable again to say that you have, quote-unquote, gone to cash. That, of course, means selling all of your investments, often at significant tax liability, to stay uninvested until you think things feel better or look different. Now, let's be honest, Dan. It may very well be the right thing to have less stock investments now or at any given time, but I contend it's very difficult to adopt an all-in, or all-out mentality for too long. Many investors had great difficulty getting back in the market after the meltdown of 2008 and 2009, and they missed many years of catch-up gains on their investments. Now, cash levels are still at high levels today as a result of that. And many studies have shown for years that even missing a few number of days, even 3 or 5 or 7 days in the year, may have a very meaningful effect on the overall return on the investments. Our view is that through thick and thin, it is much better to have a diversified strategy of stocks and bonds, and yes, even cash, to help you pay for your living expenses and save for the future. The old saying in our business, Dan, is that when you go to cash, you have to be right twice, not just when you sell, but when you get back in. The key takeaway I have is that investing is hard enough. Hindsight is always 20/20, and making decisions about where the Dow is now or who sits in the White House is usually not seeing the whole picture. I think you should keep cash on hand for emergency purposes, but understand investing is a marathon and not a sprint.
Brian's analysis is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal investing or specific tax advice. Brian, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, Dan. Have a good week.
Thank you. Financial news you can use on 88.9 WCVE-FM.